chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, 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 oh.
How many Blues uniforms do you think you've made over the years?
So it's so many, I can't even really tell you.
Thousands?
Yes, thousands. Never have they did that for me, ever. That I was making. I'm making pennies compared to what they're doing. Before, they always announced to me, Miss Candy, do you want the contract? You need to put your bid in. This year, I didn't hear from no one. No one called me.
So this is Candy Whitehurst. She's the owner of the Sewing Box. And as I know, you've seen the report on Channel 3 about how this particular shop has been basically making the Blue Angels, signature blue and yellow flight suits for, you know, decades. And now suddenly she finds herself out of a contract that they went with somebody in Pennsylvania. The money seems quite a bit higher than she says she ever got paid for these suits. It's always possible she could get subcontracted for it. Very interesting story. I think there's a lot more to be said about this, but I wanted to ask our Congressman Jimmy Petronas, what he knows about this. Jimmy, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Hey, good morning. Look, I don't know if people realize this, but for 9 years of my life, I handled all of the payment side of the procurement for every state contract. And you know, these procurement processes, when a contract goes out for bid, all of the those that were using the contract before are pulling. There's a lot of information and transparency goes out. So again, I'm not sure who in the previous cycles of this contract were notifying all parties that this contract was expiring or for re-procurement. I reached out to a buddy of mine at the Pentagon to get an update. I haven't heard anything back because it was a weekend. But I'm going to make sure everything was handled appropriately, and that's why they do things called bid protests. There's ways that the sewing shop can react legally. But if this contract was handled legally and somebody missed a window to apply, then the best thing she can do is try to be, part of a sub to it, which right. might be the cleanest, easiest, fastest way to make this work, without having all the contract in front of me. I don't know all the particulars.
Sure. And it's a real... It's a frustrating story because obviously, we love the Sewing Box. They've done such a great job, and it's a local thing and proximity to the base, and we get all of that, and we love our local people. At the same time, the reason you have open procurements and competitive bidding is to make sure that you have a process where, honestly, you don't have the local politician can put a thumb on the scale and get a thing done a certain way. She kind of even said it sounds like somebody used to always reach out to her and remind her. And, if they didn't because of personnel changeovers or, whatever, well, that's maybe a little bit on her, too, to kind of follow up on that stuff. It's obviously for her, a $1.7 million contract over 5 years, if that's what she could have gotten. And I don't know that was kind of like the max for the contract. If she could have gotten that, it's a huge deal, probably the biggest client that she's got. But from the point of view of the Pentagon with a $1 trillion budget, $1 million is not even a hiccup in budgetary concerns, but it just, it's a frustrating story because we all want our local and we want the tradition and all of that. But, rules do exist in order to make sure that the rules are followed.
And like I said, you got to look at the contract. So yeah. that number, as enormous as it may sound, because that's still a lot of money in our terms.
Right.
That may be for different suits for multiple branches or different suits for different equipment, not just the Blues, but the Blues and it could be F-18 Super Hornets that are just for sale. So, there's a number of elements that could fill into that, which is gobbling up that 1.7 where,
right.
Her scope may have been in her contract when she had it was just for the Blues. So that's probably why it was a smaller amount of money.
Oh, that's an interesting note. It might have been for things beyond just the Blue Angels suits. And certainly if you include, I don't know, it said flight suits, I guess, but I don't know if that includes the enlisted uniforms as well. Their blue suits.
Exactly.
I don't know the details of that either. And, it's a good question to ask, but I'm glad you're kind of paying attention to it and, at least asking
absolutely.
The question, because I think that's what a lot of people would want is, what can Jimmy do? And well, you're looking into, which I appreciate that.
I got about 30 pings over the weekend about it.
Really?
Just different folks reaching out to me, and I had folks, you know, giving me understanding of some of the history. You know, again, all this stuff is texts and emails and phone calls. I like to look at real documents that show this is the history. These are the dollars that were paid. This is what the last contract was. And that's what you got to do in order to get to the bottom of it. So,
Jimmy, one of the things that kind of been, I don't know, you and I have talked a little bit about this. We've talked about AI and your efforts to rein that in and bring some sanity to it. Also, data centers. And of course, as you know, and we talked about this a little bit too, there's been a really high local but also national push against the development of data centers. And I have seen, in the beginning, when people were kind of whispering in my ear, we think the Chinese or the Russians are kind of behind this because if they can get us to not develop infrastructure, they can win this sort of culture war, infrastructure war against us. Michelle Salzman was on my show on Friday, and she was talking about how, you know, basically at Cory Station, this is what they're worried about. The foreign actors are not limited by the constraints that we are because of our Constitution. The foreign actors, particularly China, are investing heavily in data centers. Their most desperate wish is that America would not keep up and compete. I'm starting to be concerned that here locally, not just with Cory, but nationally, we are allowing this Democrat Socialist of America to create a narrative that is going to cripple our ability to develop, you know, infrastructure to keep us competitive in the AI and cyber war front.
Oh, you're 1,000%. Look, years ago, I was at a conference down in South Florida's Economic Development Conference. And this is back, you know, Miami was really getting a lot of buzz, and it still is, regarding Silicon Valley types that want to invest in the market of Miami-Dade County. San Francisco's economic development arm started polluting the internet about what? Not about all the terrible things about San Francisco's high taxes, the homelessness, all that stuff that takes place. They were polluting the internet with Miami is subject to sea level rise. Mm. Okay. So they started just dumping all this garbage on the internet. So when these site selectors were looking for, let's find a good place to go take our company, whenever they would look at Miami, because Miami had some heat to it, it was exciting, it would say, oh, you can't go to Miami because it's susceptible to sea level rise. So, I mean, foreign actors, competitive actors, even capitalists will go out and try to change what is on the public domain in order to change the direction of a decision. So, yeah, look, the Chinese, they are active. And if you don't think they are, you're sleeping, you know, in your head in the sand.
Well, and, you know, we know Iran, we know China, we know Russia, we know North Korea are engaged in long-term planning to beat us in all kinds of ways. And we know that they are very, very well-developed in cyber warfare, and that includes intelligence operations and, you know, how to manipulate social media in ways that accomplish effects for them. I mean, we do a lot of this stuff, too. I'm not saying we're clean on this or anything, but, you know, they can be effective. And, you know, would it surprise anybody to find out that a bunch of these folks, you know, have basically been co-opted, you know, what the historic term is, useful idiots, that they've been co-opted for a political purpose that is not friendly to America's national defense interests.
Well, it's how they get ahead in the world.
Yeah.
Totally.
What, I hate to almost ask, because I think the answer is we're really just going to have to wait and see, but do you really think we're on the verge of a peace deal? Do you think this is just, where are we with Iran right now, in your opinion?
I think we are on the verge of a peace deal as the president, because there's more dialogues that the president is having with Saudi officials, with those other stakeholders, where he does have a legitimate decision maker to talk to. And they are picking up the phone and calling, saying, hey, don't do this just yet. We're going to engage. And you've got all those other stakeholders there who stand to lose from us going into Iran and blowing it to hell and back. So, you know, they are now all in because they know, I mean, they can access the president. They can hear the temperature of his voice. They can hear his frustration more than what they see on TV. So there's some inside baseball that's taking place. And I do think that, you know, when the president comes out and says we're on the verge of a peace deal, you've got all those other players also in Iran that are starting to leave the defensive posture and start saying, you know, I'm done. You know what? I'm ready to get back to governing. I don't want to wake up, you know, having to go to a funeral of somebody that I knew because, United States, you know, took out a power plant. And that, so, I mean, I think all this stuff is real. The president doesn't want to be there any longer. He has, but he also has very, he's patient, but he doesn't have the patience that the Iranians would probably like him to have. And eventually he'll snap. But I do think we're on the verge of something. I really do.
I sure hope so. I mean, it's hard to tell from the outside if you're not, like, really connected to all the information or whatever. I really liked what Senator Kennedy had to say yesterday on Meet the Press. You know, remember, they're crazy. That's important to remember. Remember, they're only here because we bombed them into a position where they felt they had to come to the table. And also keep in mind that it's better to have a, you know, no deal at all than to have a bad deal. But he also, and I thought this was a good point that maybe doesn't give enough credit, is, look, we have this other thing with Hamas. Now, maybe nothing comes of it. You know, maybe nothing actually happens with them. But they are obviously looking at Iran as their source. And if, you know, if daddy can't pay the bills anymore, you don't have money for weapons. That's true for Hezbollah. That's true for the Houthis. And, you know, we have made the region more safe by interrupting Iran's, you know, flow of cash. And that's no small thing. Even if we don't manage to get the big objectives accomplished, it's made the region safer in the interim and the short term, right?
Well, the economic route of hurting their ability to finance terrorism, it is a longer road to hoe,
right.
But for the long road, it's the better road to take, because at least you're not, you know, blowing up all their infrastructure. But yeah, if they can't even, you know, turn on their own sources of their economy, how they're going to fund the crazies that they've put into Palestine? So I mean, there's that, and those agreements come to the surface. I think they're all big victories to bring this whole overall arching war to a close.
Let's talk about the Roomba ban for just a second, because I think this is a really fascinating story, how we have put out an import ban against basically all robots, that we do not bring in robots from overseas. If they're made here, that's one thing. If they're already approved here, that's one thing. But this covers everything from, you know, importing humanoid robots that would be coming from China to do, you know, washing the cars and that kind of stuff. But it also applies to the, you know, the vacuum cleaners. It's a wide-ranging ban. As I understand it, it's being presented as a safety thing against foreign influence. There's also an element of this for onshoring, right? That if they're made domestically, we don't ask as many questions. What's your perspective on this?
So Capitol Police, they do typical sweeps of our offices from time to time. And so, I mean, I'm supposed to be saying this, but I guess I'm going to say anyway. So there was a sweep done of my office, and their technology is so good that my phone charger, I've got an induction charger, you know, you just drop your phone on it, charges. I bought it from Amazon. They were able to identify and said in their sweep, yeah, that's Chinese technology. You probably shouldn't have it in your office. So it's real. It's a real concern. That's why I just, you know, I beat people up about TikTok. You know, never, ever, ever allow TikTok on your local Wi-Fi network. It's the absolute best espionage tool there is out there. You know, I won't let my kids have it. I don't want to have it on any of our devices. When I was at the state, it was banned. But it is what it is. I mean, this is how they don't need to have human intelligence boots on the ground in the United States. They just listen to our devices that we gladly buy from them.
Wow. Yeah. And I'm the same way. Like, people are always saying, you know, Andrew, you ought to get on TikTok because it's a big platform. Like, yeah, no thanks. No, I don't need that on my phone. I trust all of my local cyber people who say never, 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 never. And I believe them, you know, and like you said, at the state, same thing. And for the military, same thing. I think these people probably know enough to know, you know, what's not a good idea. You know, the Chinese are, I mean, it is a multifaceted effort to gain dominance. Everything from, you know, funding for these so-called cultural centers on our universities to getting people embedded in corporations and stealing technology. You know, gosh, why does their plane look a lot like the F-35? Huh, I wonder, you know. I mean, this is, everything from building dams in Africa that crumble after 6 years, but they got a leverage deal out of that gives them influence, or the Panama Canal, like, you have no idea. Americans have no idea how much China in particular is doing in a soft war against us.
And so, talking to Caribbean countries, I've met with prime ministers of these countries that want more relationships in the United States. They don't want to do work with China, because what happens, to your point, China comes in and they bring their own people to do the work. They don't create jobs locally, but they provide the infrastructure that this country desperately needs, and then they leave their people there. And the next thing you know, it's like a different way of colonizing. They give it to them. You know, they're more aggressive than anybody else in the globe.
It's a different way of colonizing. That is a great way to put it. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman from Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care, buddy. Thanks.